I'm a member of the WGA. I'm in solidarity with the writers. You know, like the strike is for a reason. It's a real honest to God labor dispute. It's a lot that needs to be sorted out before we get back to work. And I'm hoping that it gets settled, you know, in a timely fashion. Before they get in your business, be in charge of your business. Own it, cause it's your business. Your business, business. Handle all of your business. Value all of your business. You say you're minding your business, my business. What's up, what's up, good people? Welcome into Montgomery & Company. I'm Renee Montgomery. Listen, this episode is underrated. It's probably not going to get as much love as it should, but we have two people that, I mean, they might feel a little chip on their shoulder still. I'm sure they do, because that's just how the greatness works of it all. But we got a lot of Ryan on this episode. We're starting out with Ryan Howard, fresh off the All-Star game, but I talked to her, Moco on the go, earlier at the beginning of the season, talking about what she wanted to achieve. Then we also have Ryan Coogler. If you know, you know, Wakanda forever. But Ryan's coming on because he's talking about greatness when it comes to Steph Curry, who's underrated. We got a lot. Let's go! Underrated. We're going to be talking to Ryan Coogler, as I already mentioned, but I want to talk about underrated because I was watching an interview with Steph Curry and Malika Andrews, and she was like, you can't actually be underrated anymore. Like, you can't seriously think that. And he told her that the events that happened when he was young gave him a permanent chip on his shoulder. So that made me think about myself and like, so things that happen when you're young, it doesn't matter how much success you may have afterwards. Yeah, your youth or your upbringing, it really does shape you. You really do keep whatever mentality you had when you were young. It really does stay with you. So he was like, yeah, I have won some awards. I have been MVP, but I definitely still have this chip on my shoulder. So it made me think about myself and I'm like, all right, so what about my upbringing is literally carrying me through? And so it made me think about being an undersized guard, not just a point guard. Like, I was undersized guard, but I was even still an undersized point guard. So I just knew I was going to be small, which meant that I had like this much room for error. Like, I had such a small room for error. So every time I trained with that mentality that I can't mess up. Like, other people can mess up and I can help them when they mess up, but I can't be the one to mess up because, like Steph mentioned in his interview, he didn't really have the physical attributes that his counterparts had. Well, neither did I. And so when you know you don't, okay, I can't jump like these people. I'd like, you can see if you watch Brittany Sykes jump, it's like, girl, what? I can't jump like Brittany Sykes. It's like, okay, well, I'm not tall, like, you know, a Brittany Griner. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to have the height thing. You know, I'm not going to have a physical stature and be built like a Maya Moore, somebody that just looks like a physical specimen when they were playing. It's just like, okay, so then what am I going to be? Well, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be over prepared. I'm going to always have a good attitude and I'm always going to be ready. And so now when I think about even my work life as like a professional, because no matter when you retire or not, you're always still an athlete. It's like, I feel what Steph is saying. It's like, I'm still going to be over prepared. That's just my mentality is who I am now. I'm still going to always bring a good mentality or a good attitude to whatever I do. I don't care what it is. I don't care if anybody has met me in a grocery store. They're going to know that, like, it's me now. Like, a positive attitude is literally who I am. And so it's crazy to think that your upbringing can make you who you are, but it's not who you have to stay. Just for the people that want to change who they are, it's not who where you have to stay. But when Steph Curry, you know, he's releasing his documentary and it's called Underrated, and it goes back from his Davidson days and it talks about, you know, a lot of different things, but it just makes you think, you know, like, as an athlete, we really never slow down until you actually stop. Because it's like, you lose one year. We lost in 2015 and we won in 2015. And then I'm looking for that back-to-back in 2016. But then we lost in 2016. So now I'm looking for that get back in 2017. Every year, you're constantly thinking about the next year and how to get better, how to elevate. You really don't stop and think, let me think about my career and how it's gone, or who I am as a human, or how sports has shaped me, or how sports has made me who I am. You really don't think about that. So I could definitely understand Steph Curry when he was creating his documentary and titling it underrated, I could definitely see how he could be like, oh, yeah, yeah, definitely underrated. You know, he said he had a slow burn to his career. You know, he started out at Davidson, a mid-major. Like, that's – I started out in West Virginia. It's crazy. So, yeah, so we're going to talk a lot about underrated. But somebody that is not underrated, well, she better not be anymore, is Ryan Howard, our number one draft pick. Put some respect on her name. I was excited to see at WNBA All-Star, all of our squad, man, they all made four-point shots, which is further back than the three-point. It's what you do at All-Star games to make it fun. Cheyenne Parker made one. Big Al made one. And, of course, Ryan Howard, the sniper, made one. So we're going to have a conversation. I talked to Ryan Howard with MoCo on the go at Media Day. As all you guys know, I talked to every single one of the players. I just talked to them about their process, their thoughts, you know, achieving greatness. You know, I talked to Ryan Howard specifically about, like, what's your goals, girl? Like, you already were Rookie of the Year. You were already an All-Star last year. You know, she was an All-Star again this year. So what goals are bigger than that? And, you know, she talked to me all about it. But sometimes it's good to keep that chip on your shoulder. Let's go, champ. First of all, coming off, welcome back. Got you a little championship. Do you feel like you have to win a championship to learn how to win a championship?
No.
No?
I don't think so, because my first championship was SEC championship.
Boom.
And so I feel like I learned all the way up until winning it.
I love that. And so, just so people know, you played against Cheyenne Parker, our squad versus our squad in the Italian championship. But there's a lot of discussion now because athletes are getting your legacy, right? Like, your legacy building. You were Rookie of the Year, All-Star. Now you've won championships, SEC, Italian League. How much does that matter to you as you're building your legacy?
Personally, not that much, because I'm big on team. So we won the championship over Italian League. Like, it was a we thing for SEC. It's not like basketball is 5-on-5, not 1-on-1. So it is definitely going to add to my legacy, as well as everybody who is a part of it.
No, I love that, because this is great, because there's a big discussion. Giannis said the same thing you said, like, no, it's the process and it's a team. And so as you grow and, like, what are you trying to do? Like, what's your goals? Because a lot of people, you've reached a lot of people's goals already young. But so, like, what are things that you want to do year two?
I mean, personal goals, of course, getting the MVP race, you know that.
Come on!
You got to follow that up, Rookie of the Year, follow it up, MVP. Uh-huh. All WNBA team, all defensive team, but the main goals are team goals. We want to get in the playoffs.
Facts.
We want to win. Like, we want to show people what they're missing.
I love that. Okay, so you said all defensive, though. I thought you were going to say all WNBA, but you said all defensive.
I'm working on it.
You okay? AG was talking about, like, she was excited that she thinks y'all can hold it down defensively. We got some big guards in the building. So goals defensively, does that take away from the offense? Do you think that might have to struggle? Or are you like, I'm two-way?
Two-way.
All the way.
Defense is going to fuel the offense.
Okay, look, I'm hyped, y'all, because this is two of our superstars talking about defense. What? Like, okay, so with this team, you're the leader of a team. Second year, what is that like? Because, like, you're pretty much the face of a team at, how old are you?
23.
Okay, so what's that like?
I mean, it's not as stressful as you would think, because everybody's here to help. So as much of a face as I am, everybody's a part of it, and they're not, like, all looking at me. We're all looking at each other, like, face to face. It's not one person is doing this and one person's doing that. Everybody has a say. Everybody has a voice.
I love that. This is, like, you know what I'm saying? This is the star of our squad here right now. What are the things that you're adding to your bag all the time, like, in the off season? What you coming back with?
Y'all just gonna have to see.
Oh!
I've been ready for this season since it ended.
For real? So what, like, you wanted it to end different? That was your motivation? Like, what was it?
I did want it to end different. You know, that after that loss to New York, the locker room was, I didn't want to feel like that anymore.
Wow, I love that. And so when the locker room's like that now, like, they said LeBron, when they were going through the tryouts, he's like, step one, he's talking to them. Who's talking in the locker room, like, now in situations? Are you one of those? Because you don't have to be. I've had teammates like Amaya Moore, who she didn't necessarily talk a lot, but boy, you know what I'm saying? She did a lot of talking when she was out there, but we had talkers. So what kind of leader are you?
Definitely more lead by example, but I will get in the locker room and say, like, what I'm seeing, or ask questions like, what are y'all seeing? Like, what do y'all think we can fix? What do y'all see from me that I need to fix before I can tell y'all what y'all need to fix? Just stuff like that. And then, you know, I'll say something, you know, everybody else says, like, put us in an input. And so it's just, you know, more of a conversation rather than, you know, getting on to somebody.
Great. No, and so you're a number one draft pick, and I was asking a lot of the rookies, like, what was the transition like? And they were talking about how physical it was, and it was a tough jump. But what's it like when, and I know you're a year removed now, but you're a number one pick coming into a draft, I mean, coming into a training camp or a team. Like, does that change anything for you, or did you feel like, look, it don't matter, I got to figure this out?
Yeah, I mean, the number only gets you to place, so I knew that I wasn't going to have any special treatment just because I was number one. I'm still a part of this team. I'm looking to be a part of this team for a long time, and so I got to be treated the same way everybody else is going to be treated in order for us to have those same goals and have that connection and chemistry that we have without, you know, any animosity.
No, I love this. I'm telling you, like, I mean, this is what I would want to hear, and I really believe you. Like, I don't think you're just saying it. And so, like, what are you looking forward to? Goals this off, not on the court, off the court, like, in the world of, first of all, we can't see your feet, so I want people to see your feet, because look at this. Well, somebody come look at these 11s. Okay, the patent leather, red and white 11s. But what are some of your, I'm sorry, I'll just side note. What are some of your goals, though, off the court?
I want to be more of a presence. Like, I want, you know, people are always like, we want to see more of you. So I want to be that. Like, this next year, I'm not planning to go overseas. And so I'm just going to spend that time, use my platform, however it needs to be used, and just, you know, give the people a bit more inside of my life.
Well, your Twitter's popping. I'm not going to say. So I feel like now that you say that, I'm like, dang, like, I can see your personality on TikTok. Was that something you're like, I'm going to just start being myself on social media?
Yeah, but Twitter especially, because every time I get on Twitter, it's, you know, full of laughs.
Yes.
So every one person always comes up, Sid Colson.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, people
hilarious.
Know what you're going to get with her. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Who's gonna say anything? If they're
keep
not saying anything
that.
About Sid, I'm not going to be as wild as Sid, but.
No, it's great, though, because, I mean, in the world of name, image, and likeness, I literally think even I already knew you, and I'm like, dang, Ryan's Twitter is, like, lit. You're commenting on timely things, so I love that. I appreciate you staying here in the offseason then with us. Ryan Howard, you guys, our number one draft pick, rookie of the year, all-star, and we entering into new stratospheres, okay? I'm hyped, man. For real, I'm hyped. Let's go. Now, coming up, we have another Ryan, from one Ryan to another. Listen, I'm going to just list a couple of the accolades of Ryan Coogler. Four-time NAACP Image Awards, one-time Golden Globe nomination, nominated for 2 Academy Awards. You guys know him, Fruitvale Station, Black Panther franchise, and now Steph Curry's documentary, Underrated. I could use so many basketball references, cliches. All he does is win, no matter what. You know, he's buddies with Michael B. Jordan. They collab all the time. But I love, like, y'all know I'm way too into, I call Atlanta Wakanda all the time. If anybody has heard me speak when I'm always mentioning Atlanta, I call it Wakanda down here. So we got the guy, and he's just continuing along with greatness, because I love Black Panther franchise, but then also Steph Curry is, like, going to be the greatest shooter of all time. It's not even going to be up for debate. So it's just like my worlds are colliding. You guys, I'm about to talk to Ryan Coogler.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The man that needs no introduction, Ryan Coogler.
He's known for a lot of different projects for Real Station, Black Panther, and now Steph Curry's documentary, Underrated, which is out right now on Apple TV. We have the legend, Ryan Coogler. Welcome to Montgomery & Company.
Thanks for having me.
I always like to connect sports and entertainment because anybody that's worked with an athlete or worked with an entertainer, there's so much synergy. And I didn't really know it until I retired because there's certain types of ways that we go about things. So when you first got approached to work on Steph Curry's project, you know, what were your thoughts considering, you know, you're usually in more of the cinematic film role. So what made you say yes to Steph Curry's Underrated?
No, that's a great question. I founded a media company with my wife and our friend, Chev Ohanian. My wife, Zenzi Coogler. We started Proximity Media in 2018. We started off with Space Jam, which we were fortunate enough to work with LeBron on, and Judas and the Black Messiah. That was our first couple movies. And in the years following, we decided to expand out into nonfiction podcasts and television. And when Eric Payton and Steph gave me a call from Unanimous and I had this idea for what would become Stephen Curry Underrated, you know, I was actually really excited because we were set up as a company. We were ready to handle an incoming call like that. And it was a beautiful idea. And Pete Nix, who we were recruited to partner with us and run nonfiction for us, a very experienced nonfiction filmmaker and from the style of cinema verite. He had just finished up a trilogy about different communities in Oakland, different systems in the city. He kind of felt that this fit right into that creative line of a thought, that creative dialogue, doing a story about Steph, who's an adopted son of Oakland, who's brought us a lot of great, you know, pride and joy and success and positivity in his run with the Warriors. We were able to get going on that. And I was obviously, Steph means a lot to us being from the Bay Area. You know, I got to know him in his time there, and we were really excited to be the ones to help them tell the story.
It's just crazy. First of all, y'all starting out with Space Jam and Judas and the Black Messiah, like, congratulations, my goodness. That is a way to jump out of the gates. I watched an ESPN interview with Steph and Malika, and I talked about this earlier in the podcast, but how is it possible? I want you to explain to me how a man like Steph Curry, who has won 4 championships and 2 MVPs, he said he still feels underrated, Ryan. Like, you were around him. You filmed the project. I'm sure it explains further. But, like, can you just talk about that mentality?
I think people who are exceptional at what they do, they tend to have a competitive drive that powers them through it. And that tends to be kind of what ties them all together. You know, this love for the pursuit of their goals. He's adopted that underdog identity based off of how he came up. And Pete does a beautiful job of telling that story in this film. And I think that he can still find, like, with all of the analytics and all of the personalities and all of, you know, it's just a ubiquity of different voices out there in this day and age of media. There's still people out there who still doubt him. You know, you'll still hear from them and commentators.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think it's against conventional wisdom, but it exists. You know what I'm saying? And it's not hard for him to find it. You know, I'm sure there'll be people, you know, this year who will say, yeah, man, you know, Steph's due for a decline or the Warriors are only going to do X, Y, and Z, you know, and it's just fuel for his fire at this point. But what's great about the movie and this project is that, you know, even though the title is underrated, Pete Nix crafted a beautiful film that's a testimony to the community, to the family, to the mentors that actually didn't underwrite Steph, that saw his value, saw in him, you know, not just the potential for what could be, but the truth that was there at the moment. You know, this was a guy who was committed to winning, you know, even when he was very young, who could shoot the ball phenomenally, even at a very young age. And everybody who invested in him, you know, it really paid off for him, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that any athlete, like when you were saying that, I literally thought about my family because I'm standing at 5'6". When you think, like, everybody that sees me always is like, I thought you were going to be taller. You the hooper, right? They start to question, was I really the one that was hooping for 11 years in the WNBA? Because that is literally all of our ethos where, but my family though, my parents would have been like, yes, and we knew she was about to be in the WNBA. So as you're saying that, I feel like the film is going to do that for people that, if you know group, you know, like people like me, like I already feel connected to the project because probably every athlete, even probably people like you, probably we all feel underrated, right? Like, are there, like, do you feel like you're probably still a little bit underrated? I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's, if you're trying to achieve greatness.
I think it's such a relatable concept. For sure, like if you work in an industry where you don't fit the packaging for what a successful person is supposed to look like, you know, or you don't behave in a particular way that people associate with the stereotypes that, that bring success in that field, you know, like in basketball, because it's played on a 10-foot court, the sport kind of selects out for height, you know what I'm saying? But you have, the average height might be this, but you have players that are above and below it, you know, and if height were all that went into it, it'd be a lot of different people in that league than who are. But, you know, for me, you know, I work in the film industry, you know, most directors don't look like me. The subjects that my work tends to portray, where somebody might build a narrative that says, oh, well, these movies should only be at a certain budget, or we can only expect to get this type of return. You know what I mean? That's another form of being underrated, or the cousin of being underrated is underappreciated or undervalued. You know, you can't listen to that voice. The voices you got to listen to it are the voices that see the value in you, you know, that see the success that's there for them if they were to invest in it. And that's what the film is truly about.
I love that. And I love that it's told, like you said, like you can see a lens of it through you. It's told through Steph Curry's lens, but I feel like we're all going to have a certain lens that we can see ourselves through it underrated mindset. And so I also think about, like you said, the package is not necessarily what they would expect. And I think that Steph Curry, first of all, he might not be human, so I hope y'all address that in the documentary. I'm sorry, but...
You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet. No, I just got in from Vegas. So I'm just like, listen, I hope that y'all address the fact that there's a large amount of people online that say that Steph Curry is not a real human. And I'm going to give you another reason why. Yeah, like I'm going to tell you why. Because they say the way he shoots, it's like it's impossible. He makes it Steph-ertless. Have you watched the Inside the NBA on TNT? It's Steph-ertless. Yes. So then he also recently just won a golf championship, Ryan. I'm sorry, but this is not Steph.
That's
is not
talking about what's golf, but like repetition, hand eye coordination. You know what I'm saying? It's something that he cares about. He plays often. You know, he's been in that tournament before. He wanted to win, and I'm so excited for him, man. But you know, I'm not surprised.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. I would be surprised if they told me like he won like a bullfighting competition or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But like, agreed. But like golf, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm so glad you said that because I was just about to say, are certain things transferable? I honestly firmly believe that a winning mentality is transferable because I went from being a WNBA player and now I'm a co-owner and vice president. And I kept my exact same mentality where we're competitive. We got to be the best. Is that graphic? Oh no, our graphics are hitting. Yeah. That's that fire. It's like, have you seen like that? Basically mentalities transfer, like even with you.
Absolutely. Specifically with athletics. Like I meet a lot of people in my industry that were former athletes and really serious. Like Mahershala was a college basketball player. Barry Jenkins played football for most of his life. He was very serious. It's a young woman who made a film called Earth Mama, who was an Olympic volleyball player. In the industry of filmmaking and performance, it does cross over a lot with athletics and business, you know, and a little bit of politics as well, you know. So you'll see people who are very competitive and understand team dynamics and accountability. They'll show up quite a bit And it's some military folks too. So yeah, like I think, look, with transfers, discipline, transfers, ability to self-discipline, the ability to do what you say you're gonna do. You know, like you tell people you be there at 7 a.m., you're there at 6:55. That kind of thing.
Boom.
Yeah.
And that's probably a little bit late, honestly. Like if I'm supposed to be there at 7, if I got there at 6:55, I think anything could have went wrong, and I'm tripping because I could have easily been 5 minutes late rather than just 5 minutes early. So yeah, that rings a bell.
You know, on film sets, man, like I can point out the former athletes because we usually there way too early. You know.
Facts. It's just in case. And I like to get my mind. I like to be there so I can get my mind together, be in the right headspace. You said you used to play sports?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I played college football. I played football my whole life.
Okay. So that's
I can't say whole life now because I'm getting up there. But yeah, like my formative years. Yeah.
That's crazy. So that makes a lot of sense because when you was talking that sports stuff, I was like, dang, he knows me. I was like, oh, my God. But you know. You know you.
I mean, you play professionally. That's another ball game. Like, I was on scholarship, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, actually working, getting your checks and pension and insurance from playing that ball, you know, that's a whole other echelon, you know.
But you still achieve that 2%. And first of all, when you said you getting up there, we're around the same age, so let's calm down.
I'm speaking for myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not pulling nobody else into it.
Stay right with us. We have more with Ryan Coogler coming up next.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
We talk about how, like, Steph Curry, when he's done playing, he will go down as the greatest shooter of all time. There's no debate. Even the greatest shooters have already said he's the greatest shooter of all time. We, like, when you look at, like, at your career, the Black Panther franchise, everything you're doing now, Judas and the Black Messiah, I always call Atlanta Wakanda. You know, I'd be like, listen, I live in Wakanda. It's like, there's a lot of Black excellence down here. Don't try that stuff around here. Like, you know, so when it's all said and done with your career, like, how do you want people to view your body of work?
When it's all said and done, you mean like when I'm out of here?
No, I'm just saying when you're looking back at, like, cause like as athletes, you know, Steph Curry, I watched his interview and he was like, it's kind of weird to look back and I'm still in my career. I never look back until I was done. But I think, like, for you, you're creating work as we speak too, but like Steph is already going to go down as the greatest shooter. It's no debate. But, you know, what do you want your body of work to be seen as, you know?
I think that's where art and what I do is entertainment. So it's like art mixed with commerce, I guess. But that's where they differ from sports, you know? Like, sports it can be very, like, definitive. You know what I'm saying? Like there's opinion involved, but there's also statistics. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody's made more three-pointers than this guy, you know? That's like a measurable fact. You know, that can't be argued. We have very few metrics like that in our business besides like a box office type metric or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of opinions and polls and things of that nature. But, like, it's not like sports where you're trying to, like, measure against other people. You're trying to win championships or what have you, you know. And I actually appreciate that about it because by the time I got done with ball, you know, I was actually ready to step away from that. You know what I mean? And look at something that was a little more room for interpretation, a little more room for measuring success, something where everybody could win. Like winning didn't mean having to take somebody else out. You know what I mean?
Yes. No. Yes. I do feel you.
So you can collaborate. You know what I mean? Like if you like the work somebody else is doing, hey, man, let's make something together. You know, so I actually quite appreciate that. And I think if I was to think about, like, what I want people to think about after I'm gone, it's just that as I made honest work, you know? I hope I left the industry and the filmmaking community, I left some contributions, you know, that paid it forward. You know, that's all I would ask, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you then, was somebody who, you know, I study entertainment. We have Think Tank Productions, my own company as well with my wife. I'm going to tell you what I think about your work, because I've seen almost everything you've done. And I think that every time you do something, there's an underlining message piece that's happening in the actual film. Like, there's the film and then there's, like, what it stands for. So there's Black Panther, but then it's the culture that it stands for. And, like, it's a whole anthem. Like, I call a whole city now, a mentality is Black Panther. It's Wakanda here in Atlanta because Black excellence. And then I think about, you did Creed 1. You started our great Black boxer hope. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you started that whole thing. And we know Fruitvale Station, Judas and the Black Messiah. when I think about your body of work, it's like there's a statement being made. And I agree with you. It's not the metrics that, like, I'm not talking about box office metrics. I'm not talking about nominations, awards, but I think your body of work is loud. And now knowing that you were a former athlete, it makes sense that you can do a Creed or you get that kind of mentality, because athletes know a certain grind. And I'll even say entertainers, like there's a certain grind that you gotta have when the show must go on. Everybody ain't able, everybody ain't built for the show must go on, no matter what's going on in your life. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where it's like your world could be crumbling around you. And then it's like, I got a game tonight. Like, yeah. I got to pull it together. So I just think that your body of work just it speaks so loudly. That's why I was curious what you saw in your body of work, because to me, it's loud.
That's kind of you to share. Yeah, I'm just working. You know what I'm saying? Trying to make things that are honest, that make sense, that are credibly inspiring for me when I'm making them. And with this film specifically, you know, I got to collaborate with one of my favorite people, you know, Pete Nix, who runs Nonfiction for us at Proximity. And it was really just like kind of helping facilitate him delivering his vision on a movie that's about the power of being seen. Steph was seen by a certain group of people, his family, his coach, the community at Davidson, the community in Oakland, where I'm from. We saw him for what he was. You know, we were along for the ride for what was going to happen. You know, not what could be, but what was destined. You know what I'm saying? And that part of it was just fantastic.
One last thing. We know that you said you create stuff and you just want to create honest pieces. There's currently the strikes going on that everybody knows about. Like, what are your thoughts and how do you think the strike will affect the industry moving forward?
I'm a member of the WGA. So my union is one of the two major unions that are on strike right now. You know, I'm here in solidarity with my fellow writers and also with our sibling union, the Screen Actors Guild, who just joined the strike, you know, some days ago. And I'm able to promote this film because it's nonfiction. It was originated with non-WGA or SAG work, you know, so thankfully I'm able to promote this. But yeah, I'm in solidarity with the writers, you know, like the strike is for a reason. You know, it's a real honest to God labor dispute. It's a lot that needs to be sorted out before we get back to work. And I'm hoping that it gets settled, you know, in a timely fashion.
I see parallels with the women's game. We, you know, women's basketball is constantly growing and trying to have larger everything, salaries, lifestyle. So I see so many parallels. One last question about underrated. Like, what do you take away from working on a project like that? You know, like a lot of times when you work on a piece, a little bit of something leaves with you on every piece. Like, what do you take away from that?
What I look at it and when I look at the film is, you know, I think everybody can identify with Steph. Everybody's been underrated before, but I find myself hoping that I can be like Coach McKillop, you know, like as a leader. You know, I'm hoping that I can see people for what is and not what's missing. Because I think that's when you kind of transcend running the mill or standard leadership and you can become a great leader. You know, sometimes you got to believe in people that might not necessarily believe it in themselves, you know, like but really paying attention to who's in front of you and what makes them great.
Man, it sounds like sports. Well, Ryan, I'm a big fan of yours, as you know, and I hope to one day work alongside of you. There's so much synergy. Pull up on us if you're ever in Atlanta. We have a WNBA team, the Atlanta Dream, here. We're building something special. But thank you for joining me on Montgomery & Co. Y'all, please check out Underrated on Apple TV. It covers the years of Steph Curry at Davidson. He tells why he declined Duke. Steph covers what made him have a permanent chip on his shoulder. It's going to be a masterpiece because, Ryan, that's what you do. Shouts to Pete Nix, who also had a heavy hand in this. And honestly, Pete, I'm going to holler at you, though, Pete. Me and Pete were supposed to chop it up. So thank you for joining me on Montgomery & Company. You know I was going to have to do this one time. Let's go! Let's go! Thank you, Ryan.
All right, take care.
I tried to tell y'all this episode is underrated because when you get to hear from people that are trying to achieve greatness, have achieved greatness, like, these are gems that are dropping. And one thing that always sticks with me in most of all the connectivity between athletes, entertainers, is to control your controllables. Like, if you talk to anybody that Kobe, you can set a watch by him. He walks in the gym at the same time. He eats at the same time. He sleeps at the same time. TB12, he made a whole package around how he just handles his body, his mind, everything. He controls every controllable. So one way to achieve greatness or start to do it, or to make generational changes, is to control your controllables. We'll see y'all next week, where it's a generational thing here at MoCo.